Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Lifecast. As you may have noticed, we're unable to produce the Lifecast last week due to some technical difficulties. Well, we're back on schedule this week, and we have a great episode for you. Senior Pastor Randy Williamson will be sharing a message entitled Life on a Short Leash. Don't miss this episode of the podcast. It's a great one. We hope you enjoy it.
In chapter 11, verse 44, it says, God is speaking. He says, be holy as I am holy. If you look into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, it is translated this way. Be perfect as God is perfect. Now, we can't pretend. Otherwise, that does us no good. Can't pretend. You can't just see the, how do they put that? You can't just see the big elephant in the room and act like it's not there, right? Right? You ever been in those kind of meetings? There's a big issue, but everybody's going around it, and nobody wants to address it, right? Well, we're not going to do that this morning, because if I look inside, and you look inside, you might just discover that there's an elephant in the room. Something there that, you know, we'd like to ignore or skirt around. And it's this. God's holy and God is perfect. And I'm supposed to become like him. Me, who's imperfect, whose original nature was born in sin, and so I am inclined to sin. Now you said yes. Were you talking about me personally or just all of us? Okay, all right, I just want to, you know. I'm just giving you a hard time, Chris. Yeah, right? How many of you have known to do something good and you didn't do it? Okay, four of us. The rest of you just kind of tolerate us. How many of you have known not to do something and you did it? Oh, a few more people. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Now we're kind of breaking through in the whole honesty thing. Sure, every one of us. And yet God's word says, be holy like he is. Be perfect like he is perfect. So here I got to look inside. I think, well, there's just a big elephant in the room. And I got to address it. I can't pretend it's not there. How am I, with all my flaws, how am I ever going to become holy? How am I ever going to be perfect? Now, before you start to go ahead in your thoughts from what I'm sharing, I want you to understand this principle that you guys okay? Those are my daughters, so I needed to check. Just doing the parent thing. Thanks. All right. Sorry, I got distracted there a little bit. You see your kids moving, you just... what's that? Check. So how am I supposed to be perfect? How am I supposed to be holy when I know all these flaws and when we can have good intentions and we do otherwise? Darren, great to see you. I've been thinking about you all week because I know you went into surgery on your back. And? God bless you, man. I want you to mend well, mend quick. And in your absence, I was there. So how am I supposed to become holy? And God's word tells me, and I know myself and the shortcomings And I don't want you to go too far in your own thoughts thinking, yeah, you know, I got to become holy so that I'm good enough for God. I want you to know that that is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. If it wasn't, then God would not have to have mercy and grace in his nature. Understand that you and I, on our own, in our own righteousness, we will never be good enough for the Lord. That is why he sent Jesus to come and pay what we owe or where we have been lean because of sin. And I want you to know, we were born into it. Because I was born into sin, I didn't even have to do anything wrong yet. It's almost like days where you begin to wake up and you wake up and you feel guilty and you didn't even do anything wrong yet. You know what I mean? And God, yes, yes. This is the good news of the gospel. Is that yet while we were yet sinners, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin so that it would be removed, that we could be restored to God by believing in his son. So understand, as we talk about holiness this morning, this isn't just about, I got to try to be good enough for God so I can go to heaven. No, holiness is continuing to build off that mercy and grace that he revealed to us, that we could be saved from our sin and from hell and an eternity away from God. We could be saved from that because Jesus has made a way. He's paid for it. He's made a way. And he wants to live by his Spirit in our lives that we can now cooperate and build off that faith that Jesus revealed to us in him. So when we talk about holiness this morning, this isn't just about, I got to try to look good and I got to try to act good and I got to clean behind my ears and, you know, we got to do all that stuff and so I look really good. How many of you know you can look good on the outside and inside? Sin's at work. Attitudes. Thoughts. And so here we look at these scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New that say, I got to be holy like God. Now that we have responded to Christ and we know that he's come and we acknowledge him and ask him to come into our life and forgive us our sins, and we go from that point and now begin to, because God's desire is that we would be involved and engaged in building off of that holiness and that salvation into a life that shows we have had faith in Christ. We don't do good things from there so that God's going to be, you know, let us in. No, it is by his grace that we are saved through faith. And that faith is so believing and so personal that it begins to change the way that we live. So we build off of that and we begin to be transformed, renewed, born again, that we become more and more like him. It's through a faith and a cooperation, a backing up of that faith by our choices and how we live, allowing God to continue to work and clean us up and change us. That's the process. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. It says this, I'm going to read from the New International Version. It says, But the things that come out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these make a person unclean. Verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimonies, slander. The list can go on, right? It's not just limited to these. He's giving examples, and then he says, these are the things that make a person unclean or unholy or unfit for God's presence of holiness. He goes into saying it's not what you eat or that you didn't wash your hands that make you unclean. Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about this holiness that and this corruption or sin. It's an internal work. It's not the external things that make us unholy. These things that are sins against God, where do they come from? It says here that they are at work within us. That is why we have to have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Not just some religious obligation where if I go to church and I, you know, try to behave myself, that that'll be good enough for God. No, it's about a personal faith. It's about an internal work. It's Jesus working, his Spirit working, his Word working inside here, conquering the original sin, the nature, the things that are at work in here that come out here, or things that rise up in here and begin to direct our life rather than building off the faith of Christ in holiness that begins to change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, what we do and what we don't do. You don't necessarily hear holiness talked about or preached or taught so much anymore. I've noticed it. Holiness is very much a part of the person who comes into relationship with Christ. He doesn't want that initial faith that we had to be choked out by the concerns of life, the corruption of our heart, where we make compromise, where we think, well, God and I got a special agreement, or, well, this is okay, and I've been doing this a long time, and he doesn't really bother me about it, and so it must be okay by him. And we try to, you know, maneuver ourselves around so that we start to feel like, you know, we're pretty good in our faith. God's not changing his standard of holiness. But our holiness is gained through faith in him and building off of that faith now, being involved of cooperating with God's Spirit. Those things come forth from the heart. So understand, when we have a genuine faith that is working here, conquering all the junk, all the sin, all that stuff, it begins to change the exteriors. But the exteriors are not what make us unholy. It's what's at work in here, in our hearts, in our deepest person, the things we entertain, the things we act. We just responding with our sin nature, or have we tried through Christ for that to die and now live unto him? Sin is sin. I know that we look at some sins and say, oh, that's a really bad one, and oh, well, that one's not a big deal. And we're not going to go into all the, you know, are there grades of sin and development? Listen, one sin. Born into sin. That's all it takes. And we have become lawbreakers. Because he has not sinned. He is without sin. You know, becoming like God happens through relationship with him. It's not this, well, this is what I heard God is like, and this is what I think God looks like, so now that's how I'm going to try to act. That's like an impersonation. We have to have an actual nature change. And it comes through relationship with him, faith in him. It's not reading like, oh, you're reading a book, and then you say, okay, now I got to go, I got to act like that. Okay, diagram one, and then No. It's relationship with Him, acknowledging what He teaches, and applying it to our life and walking in it. Not just reading this without relationship with Him and saying, okay, I got to try to act like that. Because that, you're starting to do good things, but we've never solved the sin issue in here, the corruption in here. That comes through relationship with Him, that our life can be changed and transformed. So becoming like Him is through relationship with Him. How are we so influenced by other people or whatever? It's because we see them, they've rubbed off on us, right? We take, you know, all of that kind of thing. But when we are born again, do you ever notice your children? They do things and some mannerisms and things like that they've never really had to observe in you. They just, it's like, whoa, that's definitely my son. My parents watched him play baseball. Now, my son was too young for when I was playing ball for him really to remember much. You know, he doesn't remember how great I was, so I have to tell him. My parents would come, and they'd watch him in a ball game, and they'd say, oh, to each other, oh, can you believe that? Look, he's running, and he's throwing just like Randy did when he was a kid. Well, my son had no knowledge of that. It's that he is of me. And so there are things, when we are born again, it is a nature change, and there are going to be things in us that it looks like him. Because we are born of him as we put faith in him. We're born again. So our nature has been changed, and we want to continue in that nature and not allow the old nature to begin to dictate what we do and how we act, the old life. It's not an impersonation. It's about an actual change that we're different because of Christ's goodness in our life. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about His righteousness. And then through faith in Him and relationship with Him, His righteousness is in this new nature of ours. That's the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus has made a way, and we want to cooperate with faith and effort in that way. Not just trying to do effort to say, hey, am I good enough? No, it's relationship with Him, taking instruction from Him, having faith in Him. We're changed. Personal faith, not a religious obligation. You know, Paul understood this. Here he is, this marvelous apostle, born again through a marvelous experience. We read about it in Acts, and he just becomes this apostle to so many churches, and the Lord used him marvelous ways. And he wrote so many letters to churches and all of that. Well, he's writing to the church in Rome, the book of Romans. And he's talking about, in chapter 7, what we relate to, and I mentioned a little earlier. He says, you know, I know to do good, and yet when I know to do good, evil is right there. And when I don't want to do something that I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. And he goes through this in chapter 7, and then it leads into chapter 8. It's all one letter. We break it in chapters, but they broke it in chapters. But it's all one letter. And I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 11, it says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, or God's Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man brings death, because it's inclined to sin. But the mind controlled, led, influenced by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, enmity with God. argue with God. I'm not going to come into agreement with God. That doesn't make sense to me, or that's foolishness, or I'm going to fight my case and while it's right, and I'm going to justify myself. That's the mind that is hostile towards God. The interesting thing is, when Paul's writing about this, he's writing to those who are believers. He's writing to the church. Is it possible to be in the church and have hostility in our minds toward God because we don't come into agreement with Him? So here it is, and it says the sinful nature, the sinful mind is going to, you know, fight against God. It does not submit to God's law, or can it do so? Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of the Lord. If the Spirit of God, what? Lives where? In you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. There's a lot there. I just want us to pull this one out. God, holy, we're supposed to be like Him. Now, if you look at Old Testament, it's wherever God resided, wherever He went, was holy. Right? That was holy. Whatever God called holy, wherever God went, wherever God dwelled, that was holy. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are that temple? That in the New Testament, now the Spirit of God lives not in a building. He lives where? Where's His temple? Us! Now remember, where God lives, where God dwells, where God resides, that is to be holy. Ah. Do you not know that you are that temple? God lives in us when we put our faith in Christ, that born again, His Spirit lives in us, in you. We are called to that holiness. Now, therefore, we're supposed to be and keep ourselves, how? Holy. Not just external stuff that whatever you kind of think is holy is holy. No, where? In here where what? Corruption and sin are at work. The stuff that comes out of here comes from in here. Now He wants us engaged and cooperating with His Spirit in here, which changes what we do, say, and all of that. In here, because we are that temple, we're to be engaged in this expression of faith. Why do you think he wrote in Romans in a later chapter, chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world or those who are hostile towards God or haven't come into faith through Christ. Don't conform to their patterns any longer, but you be what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. He wrote about that, right, in chapter 8, the mind of the sinful nature, the mind who is led by the Spirit, transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you want to know the will of God for your life? Okay, good, most of us. Of course you do. How? What is the beginning stages of that? Put faith in Him. Don't think like we used to. Be renewed. Right? Allow Him to live in us. And as we do that, we will be able to know what God's will is. It is not just this some mystical thing that's just out there somewhere and you got to get in the flow. No, Spirit's in here. We believe in Him, He lives in us. We got to cooperate with Him, be transformed, not think the old ways, not justify the way we used to think, make it sound like it was holy and right and it was good. No. God opposes the proud and gives grace to who? The humble, those who will be willing to admit before God their need. So don't conform to the patterns of the world and the old ways. That will not lead us into cooperating in holiness with the Lord. You got this idea that holiness is staunch and cold. I want to tell you something. Jesus was holy. I don't see anywhere where He was like cold. So we're looking at the religion looks at the externals. Christianity, it's in here and begins to play out. So how do we cooperate? It's about this relationship with Him. And Jesus used things to illustrate and told stories, or He would talk about something that the group He was with saw. And He would begin to talk about using it as an example to say, you know, the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this. Or use practical things that we all relate to in a real natural level, a life level that we live here on earth, and use that and bring a parallel. So I want to do that a little bit this morning. Okay? Brennan, I'm going to need you for a moment. Would you help me out? Sure. Thanks for being so willing. You just happen to be sitting here. I need you to help me too. What's your full name? What's the last name? Zamaripa. I'll just stick with Alex. Okay. Alex and Brennan, come here. Alex, would you just head up on the platform? Did you do that? Brennan, you stay right here. Can I have a couple ushers maybe prop open the sanctuary doors? Now, don't go around the corner or anything, but we just need you to get out there, just into the lobby, and hey, thanks, man. You know what? Just start walking. You can keep your hands on there. Yeah, just start walking. We're gonna feed this out to you. Yeah, there you go. Whoa. Here, David. All right. And I'll need like near the other end. The end that goes this way, the other end. Maybe I should have Janine help me. Brennan, just kind of stand just outside the sanctuary doors there a little bit. I want you to get out there a ways. Yeah, I'm kidding you. How are we doing, Mr. Sanborn? We got a mess? Yep, we made it clear as mud. Okay, that's going to work great. No, but we'll just keep working on it. Phil? No, I'm kidding you. He's rescued me before. There I go. Yeah, this isn't working. That's all right. We're going to be okay. See, you pull the right thing and it just all falls apart. By the way, thanks, Brennan. I want to just use this little parallel for us. Kind of called the long leash and the short leash. You're on the short. We'll endeavor not to harm you in any way. You know, when we're on a short leash, we feel the slightest little correction, don't we? Just a little, you know. Yeah. I didn't have to move very far. You holding up okay? Just hold your breath for a while. Just the slightest little tug. Doesn't have to be hard. Do you feel that? Do you feel pretty good? You can say what you say the truth.
Oh, I feel it.
Yeah, you feel it. Okay, we'll give you just a breather. Just for a second, though. Thanks. Brennan? Take your hands off the... Yeah. Listen, we're not going to hurt you or anything like that. I mean, let me ask you something. Take your hands off that. Trust me. Let me ask him, do you feel this very much? Is it anything like this? Not too much? I mean, I'm moving this a whole lot. This is not really bothering him too much. Pretty much when I'm doing this, could you just kind of almost pretty much do what you want back there? Yeah. How about you? No? Run from me. No, I'm kidding. just jump off the platform. No, I'm kidding. If we walk close in relationship with the Lord, very close, we allow Him to fill our life, He's going to lead us. He will just give the slightest little nudge, not to hurt us, but you know, something that just we probably shouldn't be doing as a Christian in here or thinking or acting on. The Holy Spirit just kind of goes, that's it. And we go, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, okay. Or you know to go here because He's leading here. And what do you want to do? You probably want to come with me. I mean, you don't have to. But I could solve it, right? You see, where the Spirit of the Lord leads, what He desires, we respond to. This guy out here, very little influence, still connected. Because many times as Christians, like, well, I put faith in God, and I still go to church, and, you know, I read the Bible once in a while, and, you know, pray once in a while when I'm in trouble, or, you know, that kind of thing. And just, you know, connected, but not living under the influence, the work of the Holy Spirit, not really. The Holy Spirit's going, hey! And we're going, hey. The other thing is this. On this short leash, you're probably not going to get tangled up a whole lot in much, are you? Out there, He can get wrapped around so much stuff. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, throw off the sin that so what? Easily entangles us. How that happens is we get on this long leash. We still try to stay connected to God. So, because, I mean, we'd never want to, like, say, well, you know, I'm apart from God. We don't want to say that. We don't want to say that we're backslidden or we're a long ways from God. I mean, we don't want to admit that. When that happens, we can get entangled in all kinds of stuff. And the thing is, it's just little by little. It's step by step. We just start to wander out. See, God doesn't determine how long our leash is. We get to determine. How close to Him do I want to walk? Do I want to pursue and build off this faith and holiness? Do I want to keep in step with what God is doing in here? And out here, do I kind of want to stay connected so I can feel like this false security that I'm okay with God and I can be a little religious, but I can just kind of run. And I can be out there. We can get tangled around all kinds of stuff. When this thing starts to get tangled, He can yank on this all He wants. There's an anchor piece between the two points. We will not feel a thing. And through time, we grow accustomed to this, still thinking we're connected to God. The short leash, or the responsive relationship, following, listening to the conviction. Turn this off. Don't watch this. Don't say that. Oh, that feeling rises up that's not right. Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what? You got to let that go. You got to respond differently. Oh, yep, I know you're living in real life and stuff frustrates you. But you know what? Through the power of Christ and His Spirit, we do not sin in the frustration. That's the call of Holy Spirit, an internal work. Knowing to do good and doing it. Knowing that which is not good and not doing that. Becoming holy like God because of relationship with Him and because of an internal work. Not portraying and impersonating like we're holy. A genuine transformation inside. Short leash, long leash. Brennan, you can take that off and just maybe walk this rope up here. Thanks, bud. And Alex, you did a great job, man. Thanks for... no marks. Thanks. Give these guys a hand, would you? Brennan, thanks a lot, bud. Appreciate your help. Thank you. Be holy as God is holy, and yet we look at ourselves and we see all the wrong attitudes or how we treat people, how we respond when we're frustrated. We respond the old way, then, you know, we're just no different than in the world who doesn't believe. We got to know how to run to God because of this battle that goes on within every one of us. I want you to know that through Christ, He's paid for the sin. And He can empower us to live differently because we are changed inside because of a personal faith in Him. And when we sin, the testament says, when you sin, turn to God. In other words, you put faith in Him. You're born again. You want this new nature. And the old tries to creep up and you make an error. Don't try to cover it. Don't try to justify it. Come to God. Because He gives grace to the humble. Short leash, long leash. Throw off the sins that so easily entangle us. Be holy as God is holy. Holiness is not hard and cold and rigid. And see, those who are caught in religion in the name of God don't like these things that Jesus said. Because they knew that inside they'd have to change. And they had the outside stuff down pat. But Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Look nice on the outside, but inside are dead men's bones. And Jesus is the Spirit of life. Spirit of God that brings life and hope and peace to us. A power that has worked to change me. Still undergoing change. I'm still undergoing change. Want to get on the short leash. Not so He can yank me around. That's not Jesus' style. I've had a few dogs in my lifetime. We told you about the time we had 20-some dogs living in our house. Yeah, well, forget it. I'm not going to go into that. Had a lot of dogs. And training as a pup on the leash and the whole thing. I like when that stage is over. That I can walk with my dog, no leash. I stop, he sits. I walk, he walks. He sees a bird. I tell him, whoa. And he responds. I'll just tell you, when I'm at home, we let him out the patio doors. He doesn't go out of the yard. On occasion, but he knows. My wife tells me, when I'm not home, he forgot where the boundaries of the yard are. I don't like that. Because he's looking, he's watching, and he's staying where he needs to be for his own good, for his own safety, for his own enjoyment of life. Right? Not that we're dogs and God is this, you know, dog trainer. He used these natural things to get our attention to understand spiritual principles. Short leash, long leash. Only we determine the length of the leash. We determine how much we're going to let him work in us to transform us. To come out of the old that seems to have us so trapped. We've just learned to act this way, respond this way. And the power of his spirit has come in to free us. You heard that word this morning about the mountain that couldn't be removed. Some of these mountains for us in this room are not external things. It's the mountain in here that we feel like we cannot overcome. I'm going to tell you, through faith in Christ, he has made a way for that mountain, the old ways, to be uprooted and cast into a sea, that your path is straight in him. So I'd like you to bow your heads all over this room. And every one of us in this place, man, if you are here this morning, you say, you are without sin. I want you to know the Bible talks about you in 1 John. He says, he who claims to be without sin, the truth is not in him. In other words, he is a liar. You and I walk on common ground, endeavoring to build off that faith of salvation in Christ, cooperate and live in holiness. Holiness that's full of joy. Holiness that has the fullness of life, holiness that is mercy, holiness is all these virtues in nature of God. You see, against those things, there is no law. That's what he wrote in Galatians. And so all of us in this room need to sharpen up, probably. Shorten our leash. Listen to the convictions and instruction and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. But maybe you're in this room and you're saying, you know what? My leash is really long. I'm not even sure that I'm connected to God. I'm lost. I'm tangled up. I need the Lord to come and rescue me. I want you to know that's what Jesus does, and he will. And if you're in this room and you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and life in a personal way, or you did at one time, but since that time, the leash got long and you're lost. And you're saying, I want him to rescue me. I need him to forgive me of sin. I admit it. I want to change. I need his spirit to transform me because I cannot do this on my own. If that's you in this room, you've never asked Jesus to come in, or it was a long time ago and you've never built off that salvation faith, and you'd like to start that relationship this morning for the first time or renew it, all I'd like you to do in this room, while everybody else's head's bowed, I just want you to slip up your hand so I can see it, because I want to include you, not by name, but I want to include you in a prayer before we go to communion. So you know what? You just slip your hand up right now so I can see it. Yes. 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 Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else? Lord bless you. This message is for me. It's for every one of us in this room to move into holiness. Allow him to work inside where corruption comes from. But those of you who raised your hand, I want to include you in this prayer. I'm going to pray right now. And as I pray, in your heart, would you just say, God, forgive me. Lead me now. I want to walk in relationship with you. That's what you want to do. If you raised your hand, say, I want to walk in relationship with you. I need you to forgive me, and I want you to help me live different. You do that right where you are right now. If you raised your hand, you said, Jesus, forgive me. I am sorry. And I want to live different. I want to get free of this stuff. I want you in my life. I want to follow you. You tell him in your own words. I pray for you. Father, thanks for your mercy and your kindness. Oh, and thank you that your spirit can live within us, that we can be born again, that we can participate with what you're doing in our heart and life. So, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sin through faith in you by the power of Jesus' blood that was shed. And for those who raise their hands in this room, Lord, would you come to them, assure them that you're for them, you're not against them, that you are a rescuer, that you will speak to them, that you will give a little nudge to lead them and direct them, help their eyes to be fixed on you. And God, in Jesus' name, these mountains that are within them, we now, by their confession and their profession of faith, we say in the name of Jesus, mountains be picked up and cast into the sea.
Thank you for listening to the Lifecast.
The Lord can make their path.
The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin.
We believe you for it.
You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time.